With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What up, everyone? Welcome back to the NBA Gambling Show here on the Outkick Bets podcast feed. It's your host, Jeff Clark, and I got the homie David Troy here with me to help break down the 9-game slate in the NBA Wednesday, March 6th. And man, your boy is down bad. 1-5 this week, 0-3 on Tuesday. Just an embarrassing effort here on this podcast. Got to turn it around, down 16 units on the season. I am 160-2. I've chopped my 322 games in the NBA this year. But the juice eating me alive, just gnawing at me. So the odds of me ending the regular season on a winning note are very slim, especially because I don't do like 2, 3, 5 unit plays. I might have to pull out some Hail Marys to get back above zero. But all I can do is just keep trying to, you know, just keep putting in the work. Keep grinding, and hopefully the results will be a little bit different, or the ball will start bouncing my way, so to speak. David, I'm thinking about switching it up a little bit. I talked to you about how earlier this year I stopped looking at betting splits. I'm going to start looking at betting splits because, frankly, I did really well a couple years ago when I made that like one of the pillars of my NBA handicapping. I hear a lot of smart people say that shit is worthless. Maybe they're right, but I don't care if I can profit. That's all I care about, right? So I'm hoping to like catch the line movement to help me explain why my numbers are different than the sports books. Hopefully I can find some value. So, David, sorry. I kind of introduced you and then just kept talking. Like, you know, I like to do just suck the air out of the room, but you're a little happier than me for the NBA with the NBA right now. Still not doing as good as you want to be doing, but still not in the hole like me. Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I'm just fucking rambling.
You're good. I was gonna say, man,
I do like a good 2-minute and like 30-second monologue there. Hey, it's Oscar season.
Yeah. I was about to start having an orchestra play you off. I brought this up before. January was a bad month for me. February has been as good as could be expected, or was as good as could be expected. It got me everything and then some back from January. And March has been okay to start. Ran into some tough luck last night. It wasn't, I still think it was the right side with the Celtics. They had 97 points with, I think, 8 minutes to go in the game, something like that. And then they ended with 104 points or 103 points, whatever it was. And they needed to get to 112. So they scored, I think, 17 points in the second or in the fourth quarter, and Dean Wade of the Cavs scored 22 or something like that. It was just an anomaly. I mean, it happens. It's not fun to have to deal with or be on that side of it, but those are the games that I try and be like, okay, I did everything right. It was just the wrong outcome. So,
yeah, I have some remorse about not betting that game because, like I said to you yesterday in the podcast, like I felt like using like a little NFL handicapping stuff where it's just like you fade recent results, you know, Boston coming off of a absolute beatdown on primetime over the Warriors, Cavs coming off of a humiliating loss to the Knicks, who pretty much were missing Jalen Brunson the entire game. Thought they would bounce back, thought the line was sketchy, but didn't want to fade the Boston Celtics. And I felt pretty similar to the Suns last night versus the Nuggets. If I think I mentioned that in the podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just like, I almost texted to you this, but it's like, I don't know why, but the Suns are probably going to cover. It makes no sense, but that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be the case. They won outright in overtime. Game probably should have never got to overtime, but... so yeah, I'm a little bummed out. I went 0-3, like I said yesterday, dropped 3.3 units. All my plays were bad reads. I think the 76ers was kind of bad luck, but I had the opportunity to not tell anyone and not make the bet, but I decided to just move forward, be transparent with the listeners. You were like, nah, just bet the Brooklyn Nets. Hopefully you listeners listen. Heated David's advice on that one. And then the Knicks -2.5 was a stupid bet. They just didn't have the personnel to beat the Atlanta Hawks. Fought back in that game after being down like 20, but ended up losing by 16. Mavs, not really sure.
Yeah, that was one of the games I was telling you about that, I think I even said it on the podcast that either the Pacers are going to win outright or the Mavs would win by 10 or more. And the Pacers, unfortunately, won outright for you. I took it off my card just because I kept looking at it and I was like, I think I'm only betting this because the Mavs are at home and I don't have as good of a read on it as I wanted to. So I didn't end up getting there with it. Luckily, because I was going to be on the same side that you were.
Yeah.
But
if I had to put an autopsy on that loss, you know, one of my angles there was the zigzag theory, and I pointed to how the Pacers crushed the Pelicans at home and then went to New Orleans to play the Pelicans and got destroyed in a back-to-back. I think where I erred majorly is the fact that the Pelicans have a defensive ceiling of they have a top five defensive ceiling, and Dallas has if they play their best defense, they're probably the 20th best defense in the league, right?
Yeah, and actually, I read something yesterday about the Pacers having, like, the best three-point defense in basketball.
Yeah.
Which actually makes a lot of sense because that's why they're successful against teams like the Celtics and the Mavs, because they're stopping them from shooting the three.
Yep.
They'll give up everything else, which the Mavs want to shoot a ton of threes. Even Kyrie now is shooting a ton of them, so...
You know who Haralabas Valgaris is, right? We've talked about him, and you know him anyways.
Yeah. Yep.
He made a good point about how teams that are selling out to stop the three this year are actually like really bad defenses, you know? But, I mean, that's just the only way you can play Dallas, and you need to play Dallas. So that's, you know, that's why the Pacers were easily the right side last night.
Yeah. I mean, Luka still had a ton of points and everything else that you would have expected. I'm pretty sure it went well over the total, didn't it, yesterday?
Yeah, I think it closed at 247.5. Pacers won 137 to 120, and they pretty much, like, took their foot off the gas at the end. Like, they could have scored 150, really, if they were pressed to.
That was probably a game that we probably should have been like, why are we overthinking this? Just take the over.
Yeah, that's true. I'll tell you another thing. This is, people laugh at this shit, but revenge game. Rick Carlisle, revenge game. You know, and that one's the one that actually matters, I think.
I don't know. Didn't Carlisle leave, like, I don't think he was fired, was he?
I think it was one of those where it's like, Luka doesn't like you. You want to be fired or you want to resign?
Oh, okay.
And he's like, that's cool. I'll go back to Indiana. He coached there before, no? Either way, I'm going to go to Indiana. And he's doing a great job with them.
I think a different Carlisle coach there. But yeah, he is doing a great job. Jim Carrey. It's exactly who he looks like. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, I think on that note, we should get to the slate. Yeah. The first game here is the Orlando Magic at the Washington Wizards. The Orlando Magic are -7 favorites, totals 224.5, which I think is a little high. I wrote down on my legal notepad here, Magic will beat the Wizards 112-101. Second straight game for the Magic on the road, I believe, right? They beat Who did they beat yesterday?
It's a back-to-back. They played Charlotte yesterday.
Yeah, which was, I think, a little interesting in the first half, and then Orlando ended up pulling away, winning 101-89. Washington played Utah tight for three of the four quarters, but ended up losing 127-115 in their three-game Western Conference road stand, so they're back home here. You know, my legal notepad model says the Magic -7 on the right side. They usually do really well as a favorite. But I guess I'm showing more value in the over-under, which is 226.5. Here's a note that I have for you that I want your feedback on or your opinion on. The first, there's been three Magic Wizards games this year. The totals were 235.5, 235.5, 236.5. All three went over. This one's 224.5. What's the explanation for the 12-point drop-off? Is that all the unders cashing recently and the sports books heavily adjusting?
I think that's a part of it. I think I'm trying to look kind of quickly at the third and four scenarios for with back-to-back for the Magic.
Hey, real quick, how do you eyeball that stuff? Where do you go to eyeball that?
I just go to the schedule for this, for example, and I just kind of quickly look at it.
Yeah.
And,
are you on Basketball Reference? You on ESPN?
I'm on ESPN for this.
Okay.
So, like...
Let me pull that up then.
I mean, some of this stuff is... it looks like they go over in most of these third and four back-to-back games that they have. One that they didn't was 112-92 against Philly. That was at home.
Who are you talking about again?
The Magic.
Okay.
126-99 loss at home to Cleveland. Went way over in Dallas. So they're on no rest, just for the record, over and under. They're 6-5, I think. 6-5-1, something like that. The Magic are to the over. Yeah, 6-5-1. So there's really no like trend with them on this. I saw that too. The other part of like this total being low to me is more a reflection of the Wizards than anything.
I agree.
They have scored fairly well when they went out west, but they've been held to like under 110 points in a ton of their home games. The one against Golden State, they were able to get 112, but it was a pretty long streak. And that was the first thing that I looked at, was trying to figure out, like, should I just take the team total for the Wizards again under? I think it's 108 tonight, something like that. Yeah, it's 108.5. And I do lean towards them going under again. The Magic have a pretty solid defense. They're
very good defense.
Yeah, they're playing against a team that's coming back off of a West Coast trip. This is their first game home. I mean, honestly, I think the best bet in this game, though, is to just take the Wizards in the first half, and the Magic in the first half. That's when you should see the best effort from them. Again, you have the Wizards who are coming home off of that trip. They just like fell apart in the final, you know, 5-6 minutes of the game against Utah. That was one that they could have won. So to me, that's probably my best bet in this one, is to just take them in the first half. I do lean towards their total being under, but the game may go over because they can't stop anybody. So if, especially if the Magic get tired, the game should go over completely, but I don't know. There's kind of conflicting things on both sides here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of the like Washington point totals in their Western Conference road trip, like the Lakers 134-131. Both teams play at a very high pace, and LA's defense just kind of goes missing versus bad teams. I think it's kind of a working theory I have. They ratchet it up in primetime games or games they care about. The Clippers game, they scored 115, Clippers scored 140, but I didn't even watch it. I just And I just imagine the Clippers stopped caring once they, you know, once they put up so many points. And Utah Jazz, Wizards, neither team plays defense. Both teams play fast pace. You know, it was kind of a balls of the wall game that I paid way too much attention to. And Orlando both shoots worse from the field at home or on the road. And has a great defense, but I guess that's all that I got because you haven't talked me into anything here, and I had a heavy lean towards the under, and I don't know. It feels like too much line movement here, and maybe this, you know, like it's going to fall somewhere in the middle between this total and the previous three totals of this teams.
Well, if it falls in between, then you should just take the over.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. It could. I don't feel good about it. Like I prefer the under here, but like 12 points is a huge gap. And the other thing here, the only other like basketball note that I had about it is just like the Magic should be able to control the pace. They play a much slower pace, but they should win the battle of possessions because they have a high turnover rate. But
yeah,
Tyus Jones doesn't turn the ball over much. Next game. Well, Los Angeles Clippers at the Houston Rockets. Houston Rockets are very good at home, typically, but they are getting 7 points, 6.5 in some spots. The over-under is 223. I had the Clippers winning by 6, which was the opening number, and I have this game combining for 212 points, which is like 11 points below the under. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
I like the Rockets with the points. Wouldn't say that I feel super confident in it, but this is the fourth game in 6 nights for the Clippers. They're already a little banged up without Westbrook. They're an older team, which now they had a back-to-back where they beat Minnesota in a big game. Then they went and they lost to Milwaukee where they were winning most of that game. Now they have to come beat the Rockets. Are they a better team than the Rockets? Of course. And the Rockets played last night. So the Clippers technically have the rest advantage, but in the same 6 nights, the Rockets have played 2 games, whereas this will be the fourth game for the Clippers. So you would think that they still are probably the fresher team. Being at home, they didn't have to travel anywhere for this back-to-back. They played the Rockets, or excuse me, they played the Clippers once so far this season, early November. They lost by 6. You're asking them to basically do the same thing on their home floor. I think it's possible that they cover this one. I don't think I'm going to get involved in it, but that's the look I have for it.
All right. I actually had a player prop that I was strongly considering. I want your thoughts on it, obviously.
Sure.
I was thinking under Jalen Green and 19.5 points, which is -113 at FanDuel. It's more expensive at the other shops, including Pinnacle. Jalen Green's only got a 48% effective field goal shooting this season. Like, if he can get to the line or he's playing against a bad defense, then he'll get buckets, but he's probably not going to shoot very well from the field because he never does. Your point about the fourth game and 6 nights does make me nervous, and the Clippers being an old team also makes me nervous. Jalen Green's gone over this number in 3 straight games, yet there's more under on the juice, or more juice on the under, excuse me. He's only scored 20 or more points in 26 of his 61 games, so that's a 43% clip. He scored 20 in their first game against the Clippers. Back when was that, November 7th, I believe, but it was on 31% shooting. Like, it wasn't efficient. You know, if he doesn't shoot well again this time around, I don't think he's in a good. I mean, if he shoots 30%, I'll take my chances with him going under his point total. That was against a Clipper team that was still kind of figuring things out. They did have their current roster, but their defense and offense was just much worse at that time. They do a good job of keeping opponents off the free throw line, which I think is the most likely way for Jalen Green to get 20-plus points in this game. And they do have 3 good defenders to put him on, or to put on him. PG Kawhi Leonard, who probably won't get a bulk of the assignments since they have so much offensive responsibility, but Terrence Mann is that guy for them, right? He's probably going to be guarding him, and they'll put PG or Kawhi on Dylan Brooks, who's more of a catch-and-shoot guy, less of an ISO guy. So I'm a big fan of Terrence Mann defensively. I really like this game going under, but I think I like this play a little bit more. What are your thoughts?
I do like it. Looking at some of the different stats from like hashtag basketball, this actually the last 2 weeks would be a tough matchup for Green.
Where is that? What's hashtag basketball? I never heard of that.
It's I go to hashtagbasketball.com/NBA-defense-verse-position. And it basically calculates the average statistics by each team by position based on 48 minutes of playing time. So then they rank all the teams and by position and all that stuff. You can do the same thing on the, I think it's a Fantasy Pros, like, shows a tough matchup versus an easy matchup or whatever. But what I kind of like about this is you can filter it by like a week, by the last week or the last 2 weeks, last 30 days or the entire season. And just in the last 2 weeks of basketball for the Clippers, they are one of the top teams against shooting guards. And that hasn't really been the case the entire season, but they've been pretty solid. And, you know, some of this is matchup dependent. So you're playing a power forward like Giannis, you should expect that the power forward position will probably be a little more successful in the last few games. In any case, this indicates as a tough matchup. The one thing I'd say about Green is he is kind of like a streaky person. So you were mentioning that he's done this in three straight games that he's gone over. That concerns me a little bit. It also concerns me that Şengün got 45 last night, because now I'm starting to think like this guy may just jack up as many shots as he possibly can to try and get to that total as well. His volume is insane these past few games, though. 17 field goal attempts, 28, 23, 23. That is a lot of shots for somebody.
Yeah.
And you're basically saying, like, just hit half of your shots, which he isn't always good at. But then you bring in free throws and three-pointers, and if he's getting 20 shots, he should easily clear the number. So I personally wouldn't play it. I get burned on Green too many times anyways. And in theory, yeah, they have Kawhi and they have Paul George, who are really good defenders, but are you going to put Terrence Mann or James Harden on Jalen Green? I think it'd be
Terrence Mann, right?
Yeah. And Mann is not a great defender. He's fine. But I think Green can score on him. And if you put Harden on him, Green can definitely score on Harden. So if you end up putting like Paul George on Van Vliet, for example, or which I think would make the most sense, actually, put George on Van Vliet, Mann on Dylan Brooks, and let
Harden guard Jalen Green.
No, keep Mann on Green. I'm sorry, Harden on Brooks, and George on Van Vliet, and then Kawhi guards Jabari Smith.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I would just say I'm not playing it.
Fair enough. You kind of talked me out of playing it myself. So, good shit. Yeah, Terrence Mann's got the second worst defensive rating, essentially the worst defensive rating on the Clippers, which is a surprise because I view him as like the best on-ball defender they have. Doesn't match the numbers, even though defensive numbers are a little wonky. Moving on to the next game, the Memphis Grizzlies at the Philadelphia 76ers, who I fucking hate. The Philadelphia 76ers, as a Knicks fan, I hope we're both healthy for the playoffs. We might not beat them because Joel Embiid actually owns the New York Knicks. We pretty much should have his name tattooed to our bodies, but that was like, you know, pre this Knicks. But I hate this team so much that I would hope that the Knicks get them somewhere in the playoffs and eliminate them because they are just beta bitch boys. They're favored 6 at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. Totals 211.5. I have zero interest in this game after Philly fucked me yesterday. Tyrese Maxey is doubtful. Embiid's obviously still out, but the counter to that is, what team is Memphis playing? Like, what are they putting out there? So, I don't know. Memphis is feisty. Philly probably shouldn't be favored by this many points against anyone without Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid, but I have no interest in betting this game currently. What do you think?
What's up, everyone? It's Nick Wright, and I got something exciting to talk to you about today. Angie, your ultimate destination for getting all your jobs done well. Now, Angie isn't just your average home services marketplace. It's a game changer. With over 150 million homeowners served and a network of over 200,000 skilled pros, Angie has experience and expertise to tackle any project with ease. Whether you're looking to spruce up your backyard or undergo a major home renovation, Angie's got your back. And their pros are locally based, often running small businesses right in your community. And here's the best part. Angie makes the process seamless. From researching and comparing pros to scheduling services at your convenience, Angie's user-friendly platform puts you in control. So why settle for anything less than perfection when it comes to your home? With Angie, you can trust every project will be completed with the utmost care and professionalism. So get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today to discover why homeowners across the nation are turning to Angie to get all their jobs done well.
Yeah, same. I don't care about this game. Memphis has taken enough of my money this season. I'm done with them. Any game involving Memphis, I just won't have any kind of participation in unless it is a player prop. And even then, I don't know if I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, there wasn't that many player props listed, and I didn't see anything worth betting on the few that were listed. So, yeah.
I will say it wasn't much of a surprise to me that Kelly Oubre was the leading scorer for Philly yesterday.
I know. His player prop wasn't even up there because he's not a starter, I think.
Right.
No, I called for an Kelly Oubre breakout game to help the Sixers win that, and I got that from him, but didn't get much help from anyone else in Philly. That sucked. And it was a ball tickle, too. The 76ers, I think, were up kind of big early in that game and then gave it away pretty quickly, right? Like, from the second quarter on, it looked like the Nets were the right side, but still early. I was like, all right, 76ers, here we go. Kyle Lowry looked exceptionally bad last night. Like, I mean, he's old, whatever. You know, it's not a surprise, but he does not look like he belongs up there on an NBA basketball floor anymore. Anyways, next game, Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Atlanta Hawks. Another just, I hate the Hawks right now for what they did to me yesterday and my New York Knicks. They're favored 2.5. The total is at 214.5. I have a heavy lean in this game. This is the first podcast I've ever done, David, where I actually don't have a bet in my account.
It's, to be honest with you, when we do these games, it's 12:20 Central Time right now. It's too early to be putting in bets.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm always saying, like, these are the things that I'm thinking about. If there are certain things that I'm really sure of, I will take them. Like, that night that I texted you about the Bucks -4 against the Bulls, I bet that already when I had texted you it. But a lot of times I do want to wait, especially for some of these teams that you don't know what their injury report's going to be. Nobody knows what the status of Donovan Mitchell is. He's probably out. I'm guessing he is out, actually. But could he randomly decide, like, oh, actually, I'm okay. I'm good enough to play right now. Yeah, he could, because it's the NBA, and you don't know what's going to happen with these idiots. Same with Max Strus. He's a game-time decision today. Is he going to play? Who knows? I didn't even know anything was wrong with him at first, and he was out yesterday, so I don't know, man. That's part of the reason I just try and caveat, like, you got to wait a little bit to see some of these things, to find out some more information about who was maybe at shoot around. And even then, that's not always enough. De'Aaron Fox was going to shoot arounds, but he wasn't actually playing. So, sorry, that's my rant.
No, it's all good. I mean, I try to get picks out early for content, get more page views, get more listens, give guys actionable intel, guys or girls, whatever, stuff that they could fade, follow. I don't know, maybe use in their own analysis. But you're right. I mean, it's stupid betting these games this early in the morning. It's 10:20 by me, and, you know, a lot can change. And there's just no consistency with the NBA and its reporting or really just, like, load management shit. This is a game that I wanted to fire on early because I like the over 214.5, and usually you want to bet overs earlier in the day because, you know, the public likes to bet overs and totals usually go up. If not, then that's an indication that maybe the under is the right play. And I think the under is taking money here because there is no Donovan Mitchell, because Max Strus is questionable. And I also think maybe Evan Mobley being doubtful, even though he's their defensive anchor, I think that might contribute a little bit to the under, because, like, just the basic logic of, oh, it's another starter, they're probably going to get less points this game. But I think because of Evan Mobley being out and Cleveland being without their defensive anchor, that gives more value to the over here. Also, Donovan Mitchell and Max Strus actually have higher on-off defensive ratings and offensive ratings, which I thought was pretty surprising. And you look at Cleveland's, like, backup players, George Niang, Sam Merle, Dean Wade. What do these guys all do? Well, fucking chuck threes, right? So Atlanta's got a really, really bad defense. They can score a little bit. Like, Sadiq Bey can score. Bogdanovich can score. Jalen Johnson, who really just blast the Knicks last night. He was really good last night. He can score. In post All-Star break, Cleveland's fifth in pace. Atlanta's ninth in pace. All three refs have this have officiated more overs this season. Also, this is the fourth game between the Hawks and the Cavaliers this season. The first three totals, 238.5, 236, 231.5. Now, obviously, this 214.5 is heavily dependent on the injuries, but 17 points from the lowest total, 24 from the highest total, to me, that's too big of a line move, and I'm going to go ahead and take a shot on the over unless you can talk me out of it.
It opened at 222.5, and it's been hammered down to 214.5, so you're thinking that it went too far down?
Yeah. And I actually, so like I said, I write down the night before my predicted scores and then the odds. I had the Cavaliers winning this 113-109. So I had 222 on the nose, and I woke up and I saw 214. I was like, I mean, I know what I said in the beginning where it's like, I want to start reading betting splits and incorporating more on that into my handicapping, because that's where I had success previously handicapping the NBA, even though I feel pretty good about my matchup analysis. But this is just too big of a line move, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the over-under trends at least show no real indication that they're better or worse, either team, with no rest for the over or the under. Let's see about Atlanta at home.
That Action Network dude, Michael Fiddle, when he was on Raheem Palmer's gambling podcast on The Ringer, made actually a decent point, I thought, when he's like, you know, he thinks that the second of a back-to-back affects more defenses than offenses because there's only 10 players on the court, and if you have the ball in your hand, you're not going to be tired. You're going to be excited. You're going to be trying to score, whereas, like, the people playing defense are going to be a little more hesitant, or that's where the fatigue factors in more. Whether that's a good or bad point, I'm not even sure. I thought it was interesting, though.
It is interesting, but I would just make the argument that the problem is more with your legs, and if you're a shooter, a lot of times that's your legs that make the shot fall short. And it makes you not want to drive, so you do settle for jump shots a lot more than you might be willing to in a first game where you have energy.
Fair enough. Less off-ball movement too, perhaps. Okay.
Yeah. don't know. I actually am more intrigued by the side in this one. I feel like the Hawks are playing pretty decent basketball. I feel like it was such a big game for the Cavs yesterday to win that this is kind of like a letdown spot. This is 3rd and 4 back-to-back with travel for the Cavs. This is a back-to-back with Hawks with travel, but they're also coming home, which is kind of nice. Let me see. Where do they go after this? Does Atlanta stay home? No, Atlanta leaves after this. This is one of those spots that I hate where it's a one game homestand and then they go to Memphis. Cleveland is also on a one game road game for this. And then they go back home. This is just a bad spot for both of these teams. I don't know. I get why there's money on the under. At this point, it is pretty low where I think you've lost all value in betting the under, so there probably is some appeal to the over. I still do lean towards the Hawks winning this game, though. I think they're a little healthier right now. I think they might even have the better team at the moment. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday with the Knicks and the Hawks, but I would only play the Hawks to win this game. Or cover the spread. What's the spread live right now? 1.5, 2.5?
2.5. Favorite Hawks. Yeah.
I think I'd look towards the Hawks. Actually, it's only -135 on the money line. I would play that. Just play the money line. That's probably where I'm going to head on this one.
All right, if you had to pick one or the other, help me out here. One or the other, over or under in this game at the current number, what do you do?
If I had to play the over or the under in this one?
Just shoot me straight, man. If I'm an idiot, just tell me. Tell me I'm a fool.
No, it's idiot. Not that I think you're an idiot.
You think I'm a pussy, don't you?
Nope. I look at yesterday's game as kind of like a barometer here, right? So it was 216 points scored in the Nets or against the Knicks. That's pretty similar to what you're going to get probably tonight. So it's such a tight line. I wouldn't play it. I just don't think it's worth it. The 222 that you had before, the under on that makes a lot of sense. The Cavs have not been scoring all that many lately. The under might make sense still. I wouldn't play it personally.
Thanks, David. Next game.
Sorry.
I give you a yes or no, and you're like, or I give you two options, and you went with the third. You blazed your own trail.
I went with a no, Jeff. Stay off it.
Oh, I mean, geez. All right, whatever. Fuck me. Chicago Bulls at the Utah Jazz. The Jazz are 3.5-point home underdogs, which is not a spot you usually want to fade them in. Totals at 223.5. I have a heavy lean towards a side. But what are your thoughts on this game?
I mean, the Bulls are actually trying to win games. I was surprised that they won the game in Sacramento, and they came out looking terrible in that game. I don't know if you saw it, but the first quarter.
I watched all of it. I had the over in that game, and I feel like
that's right.
It should have gotten there. Sabonis. You watched that game, right? You're a Bulls fan. You watched the whole game?
Yeah.
Did you pay attention?
I don't remember if I saw all of it, but
did you see how many like putbacks and layups he missed?
Yeah.
It was so stupid.
Well, Alex Caruso, I think, was like 0-for-6 from 3 in the first quarter alone.
Yeah.
Which he's not that great of a shooter, but he had like wide open shots and he was missing all of them.
Yeah.
No, I mean, in this game though, it's hard to bet against the Jazz. At home, because they are good at home. But
you're right, but that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, but you're also talking about them missing Markkanen and Kessler. The Bulls have the better team. They have the more defensive team. I think with -3.5, it really isn't that bad. And like I just said, the Bulls are actually trying to win. They want to be in the playoffs. Like, there's nothing that they're really playing for other than the playoffs right now.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan's on the wrong side of 30. Billy Donovan's, you know?
Yeah. The biggest issue I have with this game is that the Bulls play tonight and then they have to go back to California to play Golden State tomorrow. They're definitely not winning both of these games and they're definitely not going to be competitive in both of these games. If anything, they probably win this one and then get blown out by Golden State tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I would probably lean towards taking the Bulls at the -3.5, which I think is fair. I could see this going over the total as well because the Jazz don't really play defense. So maybe the Bulls team total makes the most sense. What's that at? 113? Don't love it. Yeah. Kobe White didn't have a great shooting night the other night, right? Maybe he's good, due for a bounce back.
I thought he played really well against the Kings, but sucked the game before that. Let me look it up.
You're right. So what I'm thinking of is still the first quarter. He didn't even have a field goal attempt. So
then he really got in his cheeks.
Yeah, then he started playing well. So yeah, Bulls -3.5 is probably the best look in this game. The Jazz aren't trying to win. The Bulls are. You could come in here tomorrow and be like, well, that didn't make any sense. Why the hell did we play the Bulls against the Jazz at home when they had a bigger game the next day? I don't know. Still think the Bulls win this one and beat the Jazz, especially you're talking about the Jazz without their best players.
So, okay, so my legal notepad model had the Jazz win this 121 to Bulls 120. Then I saw the Bulls open up as favorites here, and it's like, oh, wow. I don't think it's that unknown that the Jazz are feisty home underdogs, right? So I do think this is showing some, like, the market's approval of the Bulls. They're 7-1 straight up and 6-2 ATS as a road favorite this year. All of their wins have been by 6 points. They only got a +4.4 scoring margin in those games. That's because they lost by 16 to Detroit, which kind of skews the numbers. Otherwise, they've, you know, handled their business. 7-0 in the other games as road favorites. Like you said, the Jazz are missing two starting bigs. You know, one's an all-star and the other guy is a really good rebounder and rim protector. He sucks offensively. Of course, I'm talking about Walker Kessler. Chicago has been leaving meat on the bone from three-point land since the All-Star break. They have the 9th highest wide-open three-point attempt rate in the league, but only hitting 29.5% of those shots. So that's going to progress back up to the mean. You know, I think they'll get hot from behind the arc in one of these games, and this could easily be one of those games because the Jazz give up a lot of wide open threes and are just a bad defensive team. And my final point on this is Utah's 127-115 win over Washington was very misleading. Hey, Washington is one of the worst teams in the league, so beating them by 12 is not that impressive, even though Utah was out a couple starters. They were losing at halftime in that game, and they won the fourth quarter by 11 points. So that was more of like a toss-up game than I think people would think when they look at the score. So my play is the Bulls -3.5, which is -105 at Caesars. And because you seemingly lean towards that, I feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah, I actually like it more and more the more I look at it. I was also thinking about the first game they played, the Bulls won by 17 points. In that game, Markkanen, Kessler, and Kelly Olynyk combined for 57 points, which is almost exactly half of the Jazz production in that first game.
Yep, I was looking at that too. There are three of the top four scorers of the Jazz that game. Sexton was the other one.
Yep, and Sexton and Clarkson can obviously get hot at any minute and are good players, but I think the defense for the Bulls should be good enough to stop both of them. Or at least limit both of them. Then you have Andre Drummond and Vucevic, who are both good rebounders, so that kind of negates any kind of production from the Jazz bigs. I don't expect this to be like a John Collins game because Collins he's active and he's strong, he's athletic, but he's not really a center. And I think if Drummond is out there, he should be able to collect a ton of rebounds. The Bulls did have LaVine in that game, But as we've talked about, like, they're probably better without him, even though he was the leading scorer for the Bulls in the first game. I think the Bulls should be able to take this one. And like I said, I really do think that they are going to look at tomorrow and be like, all right, we can either win this game against the Jazz or try and win against the Warriors tomorrow. And yeah. I think this is the game that they're going to be like, no, let's get this one. Let's take care of business. And if we come out to a big lead against the Warriors or something tomorrow, then cool. But if not, we at least are already 2-1 on the road trip.
Yeah.
But
maybe if
going
they're being...
in, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but if they lose this, then they're looking at 1-2 on the road trip too. So,
yeah, it's like if they're being truthful with themselves, they're probably like, hey, we got to win tonight.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we really want to win, but, you know.
Yeah. So.
Which is a segue into our next game.
Mm-hmm.
The Milwaukee Bucks visiting the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are currently 4-point favorites. And the total is at 227. My model actually has the Bucks winning 118 to 116, which would give both the Bucks +4 value and slight value on the over. I just like how the Bucks have been playing recently post All-Star break. They got a huge win the other night. I forget who they played, but it was without
the Clippers.
Yep, beat the Clippers, upset the Clippers. They were 5.5-point favorites and closed as 2.5-point underdogs when Giannis was ruled out. Lillard stepped up. Bobby Portis stepped up. Giannis is currently questionable for this game. That's what's another reason that I'm completely off it. And the other thing is the home team has won 7 straight games in these meetings. And similar thing with the Cavs Celtics last night. You have like the fade with your recent results analysis. Milwaukee, again, got that upset over the Clippers without Giannis. Golden State's last game, they lost by 52 points. And yet, they're favorites against a team that's trending in the right direction. So, that would suggest to me the Warriors are the play. My eyes and my gut tell me the Bucks are the right side. I plan on not betting this game at all. I'm going to be at basketball, so I'm not even going to be able to watch it. So, I think I'm out on this one, but what do you think?
I'm kind of with you. I don't think there's a need to bet this one until you find out what's going on with Giannis. If Giannis is in, I think the Bulls win, or the Bucks win. If he's out, I think the Warriors win. And I think it's kind of that simple. This is not like a back-to-back situation for either team. The Warriors are more rested. They are very much rested as opposed to the Bucks because they played on, I think it was Sunday.
Yep.
And then and they didn't even play their starters in the second half because they were losing so bad.
Yeah.
And I mean it was basically a scheduled loss. They were just like, yeah, whatever, fine.
It turned into a scheduled loss.
Right. So they come back home now where they haven't actually been that good this season. They're only 16-15 at home, which is usually where they really excel. So a little bit different for them this season as opposed to some of the other ones, but they need to rack up wins, and I kind of expect them to try and go out, get this victory. So if Giannis is not in, I think Golden State wins with ease. If Giannis is in, there's nobody on the Warriors that's really going to be able to stop him. Draymond can't stop Giannis, and it could be a close game, I guess, close enough. So maybe the points are worth it right now if you think Giannis is going to play, but nothing official for me. I would actually lean towards the over in this game as well. I think both teams like to shoot threes. I think this could end up being kind of a shootout as opposed to the defensive battles the Bucks have been playing lately.
All right, man. Yeah, I would just default if I, gun to my head, I had to pick something here. I would just default to like the recency bias thing. It's like, Bucks just got an upset win. Warriors just got crushed. You know, they're favorites. So I'd go with that. But that's not a strong enough angle. And like you said, without knowing the official status of Giannis, like, how can you really handicap this game? So next game, Thunder at the Portland Trailblazers. The Portland Trailblazers are 13.5-point underdogs. The total is 224. Dude, my legal notepad model made this Thunder 120, Blazers 105. So I am pretty much on the number with both the spread and the total. I feel like there's no value here. Honestly, if anything, I would bet the Trailblazers just because, like, what's the incentive for the Thunder to just crush this team? But they have crushed this team a couple times already this year. I'm eyeball test again. Like, I feel like the Thunder do cover big numbers. But, you know, this Portland injury report is a joke. You know, they're going to be without Scoot Henderson, Shaden Sharp, Malcolm Brogdon, could be without Ayton. Grant's questionable, so you don't even know what you're betting here. It's a pass for me. Number's good. What do you think?
First off, I would take the Thunder minus the 13.5, and I would also play Trailblazers under 104.5 points for their team total. And here's the reason. The last time the Trailblazers played the Thunder, they were also like 13-point favorites or something stupid like that, and the Thunder barely escaped. They don't tend to take these games too seriously. They lost to San Antonio just a few days ago. At San Antonio, they just lost to the Lakers a few days ago. But then they follow those games up usually with a win. And in the matchup this year, the Thunder won the first game 134-91, the second game 139-77. And then the third one where the Trailblazers actually tried, and they should have won the game. They won 109-111. Now, maybe that makes the Trailblazers hungry for it, but let's be honest, there's nobody on the Trailblazers. I am not going to fade the Thunder after a loss in a game that they should easily win. I think their defense comes in. I think they hold the Trailblazers, who can't score to begin with, under 104 points. I would be surprised if they get over 100 in this game. So under 104.5 is my favorite look for this game, but I do think the Thunder come out and just absolutely destroy them like they did two out of the three matchups this year.
Hey, all right, man. Yeah, you found some stuff worth talking about or some angles there. You did a better job than I could with that game. I have no interest in it. I was looking at Anthony Simons' points over 24.5. It's like, he's only went over that in like less than half his games. He's probably going to just be chucking out there, but whatever. What am I gambling? I don't know. Final game, Sacramento Kings. Damn, we've been going for 50 minutes here. Good combo, though. Sacramento Kings at the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers are 2-point favorites, 2.5, depending on where you look. Total's 239. My model makes this Lakers 119, Kings 115. Slight value to the under, but I'm not playing it. I'm officially banning the Lakers until the playoffs, when I guess I'll have to bet on them. The Kings actually do really well in this series, at least since hiring Mike Brown. They have won and covered 6 of the last 7 meetings, and 5 of the last 6 since the beginning of last year, which was Kings head coach Mike Brown's first year on the job. Sacramento this year is 2-0 against the Lakers, so I have a heavy lean towards Sacramento, but again, I'm connecting on like 10% of the Laker games that I bet, so don't take my word for it. Take David's word for it if you have anything. David, what do you got?
This is actually kind of a big game for standings. So if the Lakers take it serious, they might win it. But I think probably your safest play is to just take like De'Aaron Fox over his points. They don't really have anybody who can stop him on the Lakers. And I don't know what he scored in the first two. I can look at that real quick. One of them went to overtime, so that's almost not even a fair judge. But let's see. In the first game, he had 28 points. And then he had 37 in the other one, which was the OT game. So I just kind of lean over his 26.5 points. As far as aside, I think the Kings probably win, but this is also that situation that I was talking about before where they travel for one game and then have to go back home tomorrow and play in a back-to-back, which is not ideal. You'll also notice that the Lakers don't have too many back-to-backs because the NBA has set up their schedule so that they don't have to have too many because they know that they're an old team and LeBron isn't going to play many games anyway. So next time you want any kind of conspiracy, that is one that is 100% true.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like...
They've done it like 2 or 3 years in a row now, too.
I feel like that's like the Epstein Island of NBA conspiracies, where it's like it's not a conspiracy, actually. Actually, right. it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's like how they've shot more than double the next closest team in free throw attempts over the last year, which happens to be the Knicks. But the gap between the Knicks and the 28th highest team in free throw attempts is the same between the Knicks and the Lakers. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I hate them. I hate the Lakers. Like, as an LA, Southern California resident, the Lakers thing is actually cool. Like, once you live in it and you it's like you get it. Like, all right. Yeah. The town.
The lifestyle.
Loves the Lakers, right? And I get it, being a Laker fan, how it could be so fun, because I'm a Yankee fan. And you just say ridiculous bullshit. Like, oh, we'll get LeBron James, we'll get Anthony Davis. And years ago, it was kind of crazy. And then what happened? Yeah, it happened. You know, it's like the Knicks or Yankees fans. Like, we're going to get Garrett Cole. We'll sign him to whatever. You know, we're going to sign Aaron Judge. We'll resign him to whatever. And it usually happens, right? So that's, I kind of dig the whole Lakers culture. But when LeBron came here, adding that to the Laker vibe, it's just, it's brutal. It really is. It's a brutal experience. So I hate this team. And again, I try to be objective with my analysis. And whenever I bet on them, they fuck me anyways. It really just doesn't matter. They are the Terry Rozier of basketball teams for me.
I get you.
All right. As we were talking, I locked in a bet on over 214.5. I'm going with my analysis. Too much line movement, too much pace, too many offense only guys on the floor. Don't have anything with the back-to-back analysis, so I'm just going to go with my basketball feeling on that one. Over 214.5, Cavaliers, Hawks. And I'm betting the Bulls, -3.5, based on both your and I now. Mine and your analysis.
I like it.
What bets do you have, if anything?
I would say the Bulls is probably the strongest one right now, and then the other one would be the Trailblazers under 104.5 points.
Okay.
If I lose betting on the Trailblazers and they go over 100, and, you know, they hit 105 points against the Thunder, who's a good defensive team who can hold them down and have held them to under 100 points twice this season, so be it. But I think this is the right play here.
Okay. All right, man. I can't look at it like that. I can't be like, so be it. Like, I gotta fucking win. It's time for me to win. There is no so be it. It's like, I gotta win, you know?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Rent is due in 25 days. I gotta start winning. looking ahead to tomorrow, maybe we can link up for a podcast. I actually gotta take my dog to day spa. It's gonna be tough. We're gonna have to go early in the morning, if anything. But
that sounds as Southern California as you possibly can. I think New York Jeff would beat the crap out of LA Jeff for hearing.
Well, I don't want to. I got enough money to pay someone. I mean, if I don't win these basketball bets, I might not have enough money. But I have enough money to pay someone. It's right around the corner. I can go pick up my coffee on the way. Whatever. That sounded all right. Yeah, yeah. Point taken. I'm not going to try to talk myself out of it. Point taken. But I also have an SEO meeting. I got work stuff to do, too. So it's going to be tough to squeeze this in. But I'm looking at the schedule tomorrow. There are 7 games. Heads up. We talked about this the other day. Timberwolves versus the Pacers. Karl Anthony Towns just cooks Miles Turner. Every single time they play, he just cooks his ass. So that's my early lean. We also got Miami at Dallas. Love Miami. Love the Heat culture there. We'll see. Boston at Denver. Got to talk about that game just for shits and gigs.
That'll be a big one.
Yep. Huge game. Possible NBA Finals preview. Probable NBA Finals preview.
Both also coming off a loss.
Yep. It's going to be a sick game, actually. And Spurs Kings, like, I'm loving Wembanyama, the Wembanyama experience. So there's some stuff to talk about tomorrow. Hopefully we can connect with you guys. If not, we'll definitely do an F Around Friday podcast, your schedule permitting.
Yeah, it should be fine.
Hopefully this is a turnaround for me. Down 16 units, 160, 116-2 this year. I need a winning night. Let's get it, baby. Let's get this money. Good luck to you guys. Peace.